Welcome back to our Guthrie County Let's Talk program. I'm your host, Logan Mance. On today's program, we have Panora Mayor Pat Parker.
I'm speaking with the mayor of Panora, Mayor Pat Parker. And Pat, how are you doing?
I'm doing good.
Good. That's good to hear. And it looks like you guys had a pretty busy city council meeting. And then just starting it off with camping at Waterworks Park. You know, what was kind of the issue with that?
For years, the city has allowed primitive camping down there. And it's used from time to time. Before the floods in 93, there used to be a shelter house down there, and there used to be a restroom down there. But after the floods in 93, both of those were basically destroyed, and the city never put those back. And the concern that kind of came is, so when we have people camping down there primitive, what are they using for facilities? Are they going to Casey's? Are they going over to the county park? Which, again, I mean, if you're using the county side, you should be paying camping on the county side. That's what it's provided for, so the campers over there. Or are they just going out behind a tree? And so we had some citizens concerned about that. And from a law enforcement perspective, it's currently camping allowed year-round. From a safety perspective, as we start going into months, they're concerned about people staying down there not having proper heat and how safe they are with hypothermia and frostbite and things like that. So there's some concern about that. So the police department asked the council to consider doing away with the primitive camping. Again, there's a campground right across the street. If somebody wants to camp, they can go over that way. And their also concern was if the word got spread, if we could end up with a big homeless camp down there or something, which would lead to other issues the police department would have to deal with. So they're just trying to be proactive and help the council work through areas and think about what we got going on. And so they presented to the council, and then the council on a 3-2 vote has started the process to do away with the primitive camping. The first reading was passed. The second and third reading are scheduled to be at our January meeting.
So like you said, it was a 3-2 vote. What were kind of the opinions of the people that would want to allow camping at this park?
One of the council members expressed concern that this was probably the only spot in the county, if somebody had some issues with finances, where they could go camp for a night or two. And so by doing away with this, what options would those individuals have in the county? And there probably aren't any, and he was concerned about that.
So it only allows for like tent camping, correct?
It's currently camping. So we've had people down there with campers and things like that. They just don't have no electric to plug into. So that, with it being primitive, there's no electric, there's no water for them. So they're either in a tent, or some of them have been like a pickup with a camper on the back or things like that from time to time.
And so it's free to camp out there. They could go to a different campsite, but you have to pay for that, correct?
Correct, yes. Yeah, if you went across to the county side, depending on whether you had electric or not, you're somewhere in the $7 to $15 a night range over there.
Okay, and then also moving along with a new police vehicle, you know, what was the kind of the decision on getting a new police vehicle, and why was it necessary?
We currently have a police vehicle set up on a 9-year rotation. So once we get one, we have it for 9 years, then we rotate it out. And so the Chevy Tahoe that we currently have was in that time for its rotation out. And what we were finding is with so sometime this budget year, we were planning on replacing it. We just hadn't done anything. We were hoping to wait till spring, get it closer to the end of the budget year. But what we're finding is with COVID, the dealerships have a real tight inventory. So Chief Rising brought it to the council because Stu Hansen Dodge, which has one of the state contracts, has two vehicles left. And then Carl Chevrolet, which also has a state contract, has a few more. Of the 21-year models, the 22-year models are already sold out, all the reservations, so we would be going to the 23 model, not knowing when we would be getting that. So it was going to drive the cost up more, so he brought it to council now, and the council decided to move forward with the purchase of a 21 Tahoe to replace our current Tahoe.
Is that 9-year rotation just because these cars get so much mileage on them, or is it just to stay on top of the technology, or is it a little bit of both?
A lot of it has to do with the mileage they get put on them. What we found is over the years, sometimes we buy new, sometimes we buy certified used or different cars. And as we start getting to the 9 years, with the in-town driving and then sitting and running at times at accident scenes and stuff like that, it tends to put a little bit more wear on those vehicles. And so when we start getting to 9 years, they start having more issues. So we start putting more repairs into them, and it starts adding up fairly quick. So at that point, we've decided it's better to start rotating them out every 9 years.
And then also the transfer loan payment to the fire department in Panora. What was kind of the decision on that, and could you give us some details on that decision?
With the fire department, they're partially funded from the city, and they're partially funded from the townships in our area, since we cover a big rural portion. And what we do is each year at the end of the year, whatever money they didn't spend, we kind of put it in a CD and save it up for either purchase of another vehicle, equipment, or whatever. And so they had some money that was built up, and the fire department decided that they would like to pay a loan early to help get that loan paid off, save some interest on it. And with that, then it allows them to start planning for what the next piece of equipment is, whether it's more gear for the firemen or if it's getting to another vehicle at some point. It allows them to start saving money for that next big purchase.
And then what was kind of the issue with the community center and then the storage of food bank items?
Currently, there's a food bank that is run out of vets in the community center about every other month. And the original design of that food bank was it was a supplement for the other food pantries that are in our community, from out at the church or up at the school or over in Guthrie at New Opportunities. They have strict guidelines as to income and how often people can be there, where this food bank is a supplement that can come in to help in those months to help people. And it's slowly grown, and there's stuff being stored in between those food banks up there at the community center. And so from a city's perspective, we wanted to formalize that process. So the council's kind of put some guidelines. If the food pantry is going to store stuff up there and operate out of there, there's a set of rules they're going to have to follow. So with the council setting that policy of what those rules are, city staff will now meet with those individuals in charge of the food pantry and lay out, if you're going to use the community center, these are the rules that we're going to need you to follow and stuff. So it's just formalizing a process that's been going on.
Could you maybe give us maybe just a few of those rules, or is that necessary?
Well, I mean, part of it's just making sure that we're following safety, food safety protection standards. That's basically what it's calling out in the fact that we want food stored on the shelves, non-perishable items stored on shelves 4 to 6 inches off the ground, which is standard practice in the industry. And then we want to make sure that the food's not expired, that's being rotated and things. And then what we're also asking is at the end of the year, we're asking the group to give a report to the city as to how many individuals in the community they were able to help. So that way we could show the citizens that by allowing the food pantry to be in there, it is benefiting the community, and this is how many people we're helping each year.
And then also for you guys, for the Panora City Council, you guys changed your meeting time. Can you give us maybe a reason why you wanted to change the meeting time, and when will this go into effect?
The meeting change will go into effect with our first meeting in January. And the reason for change was twofold. One, from a staff perspective, some of our employees are done at 4 o'clock, some of them are done at 5 o'clock, and then when they have to come back to the city council meeting, some of them are just getting home. They're home for about 15, 20 minutes, and they have to come back. So this allows staff to prepare for a meeting and go right into the meeting and then get home at a more reasonable time and not have to come back and forth. And the other thing is, from time to time, we need engineers or political accountants and different things to address the council with issues. And this is closer to their work time. So they're driving from Des Moines. So again, they can come out, do this, and then get back to Des Moines in a reasonable time. So it kind of helps both folds, helps our employees get home sooner, and it helps the consultants and things like that we bring out to get back, which in turn, if they're getting into overtime, coming out to present the presentation to us, that's more money it costs. So we're hoping it has a cost benefit to us, and then it just is more flexibility to help people get home at a more reasonable time to spend time with their families at night.
And that time is at 5:30 p.m., correct?
Right, yeah. So we moved it 1 hour earlier.
Well, thanks, Mayor Pat, for your time. And I'd like to wrap it up by saying, you know, what do you look forward to in the year of 2022? Because this is going to be your last meeting date, and you will finish off 2021. And what do you look forward to in 2022?
22 is going to be a big year for us. We look to have a Clay Street extension, so another access out of the school project probably taking place in 22. We're also looking at possible Jackson Street improvements in the community going on. So there's a lot of activities that are going to be going on with the city in 22. So we look forward to that. And then we're also looking to see if there's any grant opportunity that we can address other infrastructure issues within the city. So it will be a busy year for the city.
Well, thanks again for your time, and we really appreciate it.
Okay, thank you, Logan.
And that was our Guthrie County Let's Talk program with Mayor of Panora, Pat Parker. You're listening to Raccoon Valley Radio Network.